Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. If this is your first time here, we'd like to welcome you. Why don't you fill in our online connect card so that we can connect with you more there. If this is not your first time here, we want to welcome you. We want to say that we missed you, and we hope to see you in person and worship together very soon. Before we begin, we have a few quick announcements for you. Last week, we shared with you about our reopening survey as we are preparing for reopening. The staff team would like to gather some information about the congregation that's at the moment attending our English service. And your response is going to be very important for us, and it will really help us in our preparation process. What you can do is you can scan the QR code on the screen to access the survey, or you can find the link in the YouTube description below. And the survey will only really take you 5 minutes maximum, and you will fill in information like your name and your contact info, and really where you are from, that's important, whether you're from Vancouver or from elsewhere in the world, and whether you intend to attend our in-person service coming up. So we'll have this survey open for another week, so please fill this in as soon as possible. And if you are a person that finds yourself to forget this kind of stuff, why don't you just quickly pause the video, take a few minutes, fill in that survey, and then you can resume the video and worship together. Today, we're going to begin a brand new sermon series called Give Me a Break. And I love the graphic that our team has put together for this series. So I'm going to ask our staff to very kindly just put that graphic up on the screen for you to see. Don't you just feel like that sometimes, that you just want to smash your head on the table? Or maybe you feel like this all the time. This might be caused by your schedule, your packed work or school schedule, and you have to take care of a young baby or your family. Or this might really just be caused by people in general, that people are frustrating you, people are draining your energy, people are constantly interrupting you, and you just want to say, man, give me a break. Sometimes I feel like that too, but honestly, the question is, well, how many vacation hours is going to save us from this? How many vacation days can we take to get a break from all this stuff? And honestly, the truth is not many. So, how do we live our packed life with a restful and peaceful heart? That's the question we're going to answer starting today. So with that, I'm going to invite you to stand. As we begin today's worship, I'm going to read a section of a psalm, Psalm 62. I'm going to read this two times, and then we'll enter into worship together. Psalm 62. My soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. My soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Church, I bless you to find rest and refuge and strength in our service today. Let us worship together.
This is my Father's word. Forever alone. Living God, how good it is to sing praise to you. Thank you for your loving presence with all your people. Amen. Please be seated. Do you often feel like you have too much to do and not enough time to do it? It's likely a combination of a number of things. Most likely your work or your studies take the majority of your time, but then there's also your home life responsibilities like grocery shopping, cooking, doing the dishes, cleaning, tidying, doing the laundry, taking out the garbage, and so on. And then perhaps you have some hobbies that fill up some space in your calendar, or maybe you are responsible to take others in your family to their events and activities. There are endless emails likely filling your inbox, and that takes time to read the important ones and just delete the rest. And you might need to make time for exercise and appointments with the dentist and the doctor and other kinds of appointments. Perhaps you do some extra side jobs for a little extra money. And we can't forget about time with family and friends. Do you feel like your schedule is just jam-packed, like every gap is filled and you couldn't possibly add anything more? Are you living on the edge with no margin, always rushing from one thing to the next? Are you at risk of missing out on the important things in life? Perhaps you keep procrastinating, maybe thinking, I'll get to that next year. I will just focus on graduating first and then I'll do what's important. Once I get my promotion, then I'll give this some attention. When the children grow older, then I'll have some time. It'll be easier then. I'm just waiting until I retire. Then I'll really have time. What if we never get around to what matters most? Bronnie Ware worked in palliative care and noticed the most common regrets of people who were dying. Some things she often heard people say were, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. In this life, we will face many pressures to fill up our schedules with all kinds of things. And it just keeps on filling up until we have no room for what ultimately matters. And what matters most is our life with God. But many of us find it difficult to make room for God in our lives. How can we live differently? How can we get our priorities straight? Let's listen to what Jesus has to say about priorities in Matthew 6, starting on verse 19. Do not store up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Before exploring this passage, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for teaching us how to live and where to truly find life. Help us to listen to what you would say to us, and help us to live in response to your word. Amen. This is the first sermon in a series called Give Me a Break, Finding Rest and Renewal in the Midst of Busyness and Ministry. And today we are looking at reprioritizing, making room for God. And what I have discovered is that making room for God doesn't mean adding more things to my busy schedule. It might actually mean cutting out other lesser important things, but ultimately, my whole life is shaped by God's abiding presence, his providential care, and his invitation to join him in what he is doing in the world. Rather than adding a bit more of God into tiny gaps of time, God is involved in everything in my life because my life is ultimately in God's hands. Jesus gives a threefold instruction that gives us insight for how we can make room for God. First, do not store up treasures for yourselves on earth. Second, do not worry about your life. And third, seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. Let's look at each of these in turn. First, do not store up treasures for yourselves on earth. The source of much of our busyness is the fact that we are storing up treasures on earth. We have a desire for security. We all want to feel like we're going to be okay. We're going to be taken care of and nothing terribly wrong is going to happen to us. So we spend much of our waking hours trying to provide a sense of security for ourselves. There's a certain logic to storing up money, food, and possessions. When we have more than enough, we think we should still be okay, even if we hit hard times. This self-preservation mindset has a certain logic, and it is very tempting. But Jesus is saying that if we store up treasures on earth, we will become preoccupied with them, and we will try to protect them, but never ultimately have the security we desire. There's always the risk that our treasures will be stolen, damaged, or destroyed. I have quite literally experienced moths destroying the food that I have stored up. My wife and I used to buy a lot of bulk food. We liked that it was cheaper to buy in bulk, and when there was a sale on bulk food, that's when we would really store up and fill our pantry to the brim. The problem was, we had a pantry moth infestation. These tiny little moths would find their way into all the food that we'd stored up. They would lay eggs in it. The eggs would hatch into disgusting larvae. The larvae would then make cocoons, and they'd metamorphosize into moths, and the cycle would continue. We would keep finding moths flying around in our house, and then when we'd open the food we stored up in our pantry, we'd find these this webby cocoon stuff, and then we'd see these larvae crawling around and moths, and it was horrible. And we had to throw away hundreds of dollars worth of food and spend hours cleaning out our pantry. I wish we had learned our lesson the first time. But instead, we invested in better containers. And unfortunately, the moths found their way into those too. Likely, there was some moth eggs in the bulk food that we bought. That's how they got into these airtight containers in the first place. Regardless, there were multiple times when we had to deal with moths, multiple times we had to throw away the food that we stored up, and multiple times we angrily cleaned out our pantry. We're still slowly transitioning to a new way of life without storing up so much food. We need to ignore some good deals and think twice before storing up food for ourselves. As frustrating as that was, it's a pretty lighthearted story. On a much more serious note, I have had conversations with some guys who had each had comfortable lives in Calgary, with high-paying jobs, a nice home, a fancy car, and basically everything they ever wanted. But then the recession hit, and they lost it all. Not only did they lose their possessions, but their relationships too. Their marriages broke up. They had to move away to find work. They couldn't see their kids. This was devastating. We can try to build a comfortable and secure life for ourselves, but it could come crashing down in an instant. Deep down, we know that everything we store up for ourselves on earth could be taken away from us at any time. So, where will you look for security? And what is going to be your priority? Is God going to be number one in your life? Is God your top priority, or are you going to live for money, for possessions, or for some other pursuit? Jesus offers an important insight which connects this first issue of storing up treasures with the second issue of worrying. He says in verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Money and possessions are not bad in themselves. Wealth can be a good gift from God, and it can be used as a blessing for others. However, we can easily be tempted to live for money, to serve it, to make it our master. We can be tempted to put our trust in money and then basically become slaves to it. Somehow we get convinced that if we have more money, we will worry less. But when rich people are honest, they tell us that they still have worries. In fact, the rich and famous rapper, the notorious B.I.G., wrote a song called "Mo Money, Mo Problems." Just because you have more money, it doesn't solve your problems. If money is your master, you will have lots to worry about. We were created for a dynamic relationship with the living God, and our hearts will be restless until we find rest in God's presence. Apart from God, we will have endless reasons to worry, because nothing other than God can give us hope that cannot be taken away even by death, joy that cannot be taken away even by suffering, and peace that surpasses understanding in the midst of uncertainty. When we worry, we are likely looking for security in things that are insecure, or giving our loyalty to other masters that cannot provide for us. When we worry, we are imagining our future without taking God into consideration. And when we focus our attention on the worries of this life, we make no room for God. The worries of life are like thorns. In the parable of the soils in Mark 4, 18 to 19, Jesus said, "Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." So this leads to the second part of Jesus' instructions that help us make room for God. Do not worry about your life. That is easier said than done. After all, there is lots to worry about. As I highlighted already, everything we store up for ourselves, the things we try to find security in, they are ultimately unstable. How can you not worry when there are so many things to worry about? So many things that could go wrong. Jesus is not a naive optimist when he says, "Do not worry." He is a realist. He ends his speech on worry by saying, "Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus does not deny the hardships of life. People face real problems. Worry is a natural emotional response to the possibility that something could go wrong. Jesus is going to offer an alternative to worrying, but first he confronts how worrying is unhelpful. Jesus says, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" This is ironic because the opposite is true. Too much stress and anxiety can damage our health and shorten our life. According to an article by Harvard Health Publishing, prolonged anxiety can cause heart problems, high blood pressure, a weakened immune system, breathing problems, headaches, muscle tension, insomnia, and social isolation. Those are some significant side effects to worrying, and unfortunately, that just gives you more to worry about. So we are in a predicament. We might have all kinds of reasons to get worried, but worrying is unhelpful. What can we do instead of worry? Jesus gives us a simple action. He leads us in a spiritual discipline to practice when we are feeling worried. It is the discipline of observation. He teaches us to get out of our heads where our thoughts can spiral out of control and to simply look. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. You might be thinking, "Really? I've got some serious problems that I'm worried about and you're telling me to look at birds and flowers?" Yes. This might sound childish. It might sound like something a hippie would say, "Dude, stop worrying, just look at the birds and the flowers." But no, this is an object lesson, and it can be helpful for us if we give it a chance. But the thing is, we need to actually do it, actually look. Jesus doesn't say, "Think about birds, think about flowers." He says, "Look." When Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, those listening to him were outside. And I think Jesus literally pointed to some birds in the sky and said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And then Jesus pointed to some flowers that the crowd could see and said, "See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" It can be helpful to get outside and to look at what God has created. Sometimes when I am feeling worried, I go for a walk outside and I try to just pay attention to my surroundings, to the things that God created. I might notice some flowers. there's a great variety of flowers. Some are above me in the trees, some below me in the ground, some at eye level on bushes. I see pink cherry blossoms, red daffodils, yellow daffodils, and red tulips. And when I simply look at a flower, I can't help but feel at peace. And I can't really explain why. But a study on the therapeutic value of flowers and plants on hospital patients showed that patients in hospital rooms with plants and flowers had significantly more positive physiologic responses, evidenced by lower blood pressure and lower ratings of pain, anxiety, and fatigue than patients in the control room. Patients said that plants brightened up the room environments and reduced stress and also conveyed positive impressions of hospital employees that were caring for them. Literally looking at flowers and birds is good for us. It helps us get out of our heads and into the larger world that God created. When I look at birds in the air, I see a creature that God made. And I'm reminded that I too am a creature made by God and loved by God. A number of years ago, I was reading the Sermon on the Mount in my backyard. And when I got to this section, I started paying attention to my surroundings. I heard some birds chirping, and I noticed some purple wildflowers in the grass next to the garbage can. And I realized how God cares for these birds and these flowers, and that He cares all the more for me. And then a flood of thoughts poured over me. I was overwhelmed in realizing how much God has provided beyond what I could ever imagined. I turned around in my backyard and saw the home that we were renting for a community house. And I recalled how my wife and I had previously been living in a moldy apartment when we discerned that we were feeling led to start a community house. But we had all kinds of unknowns. Who would live with us? Would we be able to find a space that would work well for a community? Would any landlords take in this unusual set of tenants? But God provided. And then I thought about our car parked out front, which was given to us by our friend's parents. This was our first and only car that we've ever had. These friends' parents knew that I was becoming a pastor, and they just wanted to bless us with their used car. What they didn't know was that my wife was pregnant at the time, and that she was going to experience extreme nausea through her entire pregnancy, making it unbearable to take public transit anymore. They didn't know that, but God knew, and God provided for us. Then I thought about our daughter that God brought into our lives. And then I thought of a friend that God brought into my life as an answer to prayer. On and on it went as I recalled God's faithfulness to me. This came flooding in as I listened to the birds and looked at the flowers. As Jesus tells us to look at birds and to look at flowers, He uses a common form of teaching among rabbis, moving from the lesser to the greater. If God feeds the birds, won't He feed you too, since you're more valuable than birds? If God clothes the grass with beautiful flowers, won't He clothe you, His beloved child made in His image? When we look at birds and flowers, we see a picture of God's provision, even for seemingly insignificant things. How much more will He provide for you? This shift in perspective from worry to trust doesn't necessarily come quickly or easily. It is a radical conversion of the heart that requires the work of the Holy Spirit. So as you look at flowers and birds, pray and ask God to transform the way you are looking at life, to see what God sees. So far, we've explored two things that Jesus teaches us not to do. Don't store up treasures for yourselves, and don't worry about life. Finally, Jesus teaches us what to do. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. Storing up treasures for ourselves and worrying about our lives is ultimately a matter of looking out for ourselves first. We essentially seek our own kingdom. Our society is convinced that we get to be the rulers of our own lives. How well is that going for us? How do we feel when we try to decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong? How do we feel when we try to orchestrate our own destiny? Whenever I have tried to be my own ruler, I felt anxious. Years ago, I wanted to build a kingdom for myself as a singer-songwriter. I had dreams of getting a record deal, of touring the world, and having my songs on the radio. I began to pursue that dream. I recorded an album and performed at local coffee shops and bars. While this was fun at first, I quickly became unsatisfied. I found no joy in trying to promote myself. I still loved music, but focusing on making money and trying to make a name for myself was just sucking the life out of me. Eventually, I felt called to seek God's kingdom with music instead of my own kingdom. So I began writing worship songs and leading worship at church more passionately, seeking to glorify God instead of myself. I also started seeing my side job as a guitar teacher as a form of ministry. God could use me to equip my students with new skills and to speak into their lives with encouragement. The good news is that God is king, not us. We were never meant to build a kingdom for ourselves. God is king, and he is the best king we could ever ask for. He loves us, he takes care of us, and he invites us to join in his kingdom of justice and peace. There is great freedom in seeking God's kingdom rather than our own. We find our purpose in life by seeking to glorify God in all we do. This brings greater joy than the pursuit of personal happiness. This brings greater security than accumulating wealth. This brings greater satisfaction than aspirations for success. This is more meaningful than our deepest friendships. Seeking God's kingdom means placing our lives in God's hands, discerning what he is calling us to do, and then asking him to empower us to do it. And when we seek God first, he takes care of our material needs. Jesus promises that if you seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. All the things you might worry about and run after will be provided by God. Years ago, when I sensed God calling me into pastoral ministry and I felt that I needed to study in preparation for it, God seemed to be leading me to Regent College, which is a Christian graduate school on the campus of UBC. However, I knew that Regent was more expensive than some other schools, and I was worried about the cost. So I tried to ignore God's leading and in hope of finding a cheaper school. But God was persistent with me and kept leading me to Regent. I sensed he was inviting me to trust him, even though I had no idea where the money would come from. At some point, my sense of calling began to overtake my worry. I felt assured that God would provide for whatever he was calling me to. And sure enough, God provided in surprising ways. My grandparents kept semi-regularly giving random financial gifts towards my studies. I was blown away every time by their generosity when they would just give a substantial check. My side job as a guitar teacher kept growing unexpectedly just by word of mouth, to the point that I had to turn down prospective students because I didn't have enough time to teach them all. I received bursaries from Regent, including an extra bursary that another student didn't claim because they moved away. I literally jumped for joy when that one came in the mail. And the most surprising of all was when my bank called me and said I won an award. At first, I thought that was a scam, but they told me to come to the local branch and they explained it all to me. I'd forgotten that when I had opened an RRSP, that I'd signed up for a draw, and God orchestrated it that I won, that He provided for me in that strange way. This might all sound like coincidence, but I've found that the more I trust in God's provision, the more these kinds of coincidences happen. I don't know what God's provision will look like in your life. You can't predict what God is going to do, but all I can say is that I've experienced this countless times myself and heard many stories from others about surprising ways that God provides when we seek His kingdom first. You may have legitimate reasons to worry. You might be facing all kinds of challenges. On the other hand, is it possible that God is calling you to seek Him above all else and to trust that He will take care of you? When you seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and you trust Him to provide instead of worrying or storing up for yourself, you begin to make room for God in your life. In some ways, it might be a subtle shift. I'm not talking about quitting your job so you can spend all your waking hours in prayer. Of course, some prayer is important, some intentional time alone with the Lord, but it's really about God being at the center of all your life. That everything else is oriented around God, like how the planets orbit the sun. You can live all aspects of your life with God involved in everything. Tim Hughes wrote this song called Everything, and here are some of the lyrics. God in my living, there in my breathing, God in my waking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking, be my everything. God in my hoping, there in my dreaming, God in my watching, God in my waiting, God in my laughing, God in my weeping, God in my hurting, God in my healing. Be my everything. You can make room for God by seeking first His kingdom and righteousness in all areas of your life. When you invite God into your everything, all aspects of your life can be transformed. Now, I want to close with the words from another song called Make Room by Jonathan McReynolds. But let this be our prayer. Lord, you know that I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my number one. So I will make room for you. Please live in me, God. My will, you can move that over. My way, you can move that over. My ego, my plans, my schedule, my itinerary, you can move that over. I will make room for you. My habits, you can move that over. My attitude, you can move that over. Whatever it is that's not like you, whatever it is that's in your way, whatever it is, if it takes your space, you can move that over. I want to seek you first to get the other things out of the way so I will make room for you. Amen. I invite you to stand and respond to God in worship.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Church, let me now bless you with today's passage from Matthew 6. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the non-believers, seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen. Church, please be seated. We encourage you to continue your worship through offering, and you can do so by scanning the QR code or head to our website, english.mykec.ca. One last reminder, remember to fill in our opening survey, and you can, again, scan the QR code or use the link below the video to access the survey. The survey is going to really help us in our preparation stage. Go in peace. We'll see you next week.